Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, Christmas Day games, guys. There were five games on the slate. We'll talk about each game. We'll talk about the key components of the game and so forth. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball GD podcast. Guys, we are doing our special Christmas Day games recap. We'll go through all five games, guys. We'll talk about the different things concerning those games. And plus, you know, with the Golden State Warriors playing, of course, I have to go to town on Draymond Green. So fasten your seatbelt for that one, guys. So nonetheless, let's get into it. The first game that kicked off the day was my New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers, guys. In a game where the Knicks, they look lethargic in the beginning, guys. Really slow, and then even going up to the third quarter, guys, they enter that down 12 points. And early in that quarter, they were down by as much as 17 points. They came roaring back, thanks to the captain, thanks to guys like Tyler Kolek. This guy is really playing for them, guys. He had a big fourth quarter for the Knicks, including a block on Donovan Mitchell. So you talk about a kid coming into his own. Tyler Cole, guys, really giving the Knicks exactly what they want. So there you go with that. But nonetheless, when all is said and done, the Knicks pull out a victory, guys. 126 to 124. And guys, leading the way, of course, is Captain Clutch, Jalen Brunson. He had a big fourth quarter for them, guys. He finished the game with 34 points. He hit six threes in the game, guys. And he just had such a great game for them, guys. So the Knicks, and also along with those 34 points, he had four assists, guys, and two steals. So Jalen Brunson, Jalen Brunson for my New York Knicks. Jordan Clarkson had a hot game for them coming off the bench, guys. 25 points. He hits five threes of his own, guys, along with three steals. Like I said, Clarkson, he can run hot, he can run cold. On Christmas Day, he was hotter than fish grease, guys. He was that good for the New York Knicks, and also a key component in that fourth quarter. And Tyler Kolek, I was singing his praises earlier, finishes the game with 16 points. He had nine assists, guys, for the New York Knicks, and he dropped four threes of his own. So you're getting plenty help from your guards on that Christmas Day. And then also Karl Anthony Towns, 11 points, 14 rebounds, and two steals for him, guys. Quiet gains from Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby, but nonetheless, and also Hart, he has a solid game, but in the end, the Knicks take the victory. And for Cleveland, of course, Donovan Mitchell matches what Jalen did with 34 points of his own, dropping four threes for his team. 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals. So fantastic game for Donovan. Darius Garland continues to be a flying ointment against my Knicks. 20 points, 10 assists. Jalen Tyson coming off their bench, 16 points and 6 rebounds. And Evan Mobley, guys. Now, Evan Mobley, he had missed the previous 5 games with a calf strain. Of course, he comes back Christmas Day to come and play at the Garden. That's what these guys do. They all of a sudden get cured when they have to come to the Garden and play the Knicks. Go figure. So he played 25 minutes in that game, 14 points and 9 rebounds, and they had him coming off the bench in that game, guys. But when all is said and done, the Knicks get the victory, improving their record to 21-9, guys. So definitely you take that. And for Cleveland, they fall to 17-15. One of the befuddling teams in the NBA this season. They were supposed to be among the upper echelon. That hasn't come to fruition this season thus far, guys. So that is your first game. Let us continue. Game 2, where you had the matchup of the San Antonio Spurs going to OKC to face the Thunder. Now, guys, for context, on Tuesday, the same two teams locked in and played, and the Spurs beat them 2 nights earlier, 130-110. So it looks like the Spurs, they beat them in the NBA Cup semifinals. So, you know, a lot of people just said, you know, that's kind of fluky or whatever. Now, about a week or so later, they beat them on their home court, beating them by 20, in fact, beating them soundly. Now you have them on Christmas Day playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. And guys, they do it again. San Antonio beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, guys, 117-102. And to me, the story in this game is pretty simple. Defense. The San Antonio Spurs played lockdown defense on OKC, guys. Field goal percentage for San Antonio, they shot at 53.6% from the field. And this is against a legit Thunder defense, by the way, guys. And OKC shot at 38.9%. Not even 40%, guys. Wow. That is stunning to me. And another big story for me, 3-point goals. San Antonio hit 11. OKC hit 11. The difference? It took San Antonio 29 attempts, whereas it took OKC 44 attempts. So, big disparity there, guys. So, there's that. And then the bench, guys. I've been talking about San Antonio's bench, which is coming to play. Oh, by the way, Victor Wembanyama still coming off the bench for them, guys. It seems like Mitch Johnson is being very cautious with Wimby. Still have him coming off the bench until he's ready to be a starter. So he has really fortified that bench, having Wimby come off the bench. So San Antonio beats OKC's bench. And mind you, OKC has a strong bench too. Beat them 41-37. So those are 3 big things for me in this game. De'Aaron Fox has a monster of a game, guys. 29 points with 4 rebounds. Wemby has a strong game coming off the bench. 19 points, 11 rebounds for him. Stephon Castle, their sensational young guard. 19 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds. And then Harrison Barnes. I tell you what, guys, he is like the steady veteran for that squad. 15 points and 6 rebounds. His numbers aren't going to jump off the page, but his leadership amongst this team has them in a great position, guys. So that's the San Antonio story. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, guys, he had only 22 points. And they seem to have locked him down, guys. He shot at 7 for 19 from the field. That is unlike SGA, guys. 1 for 6 from 3 and 7 or 8 from the free throw line. So SGA with a nondescript SGA game. You rarely see that, guys. So he did have the 6 rebounds and 4 assists in the game. Isaiah Hartenstein, 13 points, 12 rebounds. Chet Holmgren, only 10 points and 12 rebounds in this game. And Jalen Williams, pretty quiet as well. 12 points, 6 assists, 2 steals. So your big three really doesn't give you the bang for your buck in this game. But nonetheless, San Antonio. Now, they beat OKC 3 times over the span of 12 days. So, of course, a lot of people are buzzing about, oh, this needs to be a playoff series right here. We'll see if that comes to fruition. But we found one team that seemed to have OKC's number, and that's the San Antonio Spurs, who improved to 23-7, and OKC now falls to 26-5. And actually, guys, San Antonio's just 2.5 games behind them. Think about how OKC started, guys. So they're falling down to earth slowly, but only 2.5 games up on the San Antonio Spurs. So still a long season ahead, guys. But again, San Antonio gets the win on Christmas Day. And OKC, by the way. So there you go. All right. So let us continue. The Golden State Warriors, they would play the Dallas Mavericks. Now, this is probably the game where you look at the records and be like, what are these two doing playing on Christmas Day? But that's the lineup you have. And, of course, the draw is, of course, Klay Thompson coming back to the Bay Area to play against his old team. So that's your draw. But this game, pretty much the Golden State Warriors had in hand from pillar to post. And they end up winning, guys. The final score, 126 to Dallas's 116. And to me, guys, the story here is the free throws. Free throw disparity here, guys. Golden State goes 24 for 26 from the line. And then also, guys, hang on one moment. And then the Dallas Mavericks, they go to the line 21 times and only make 14. So that's your 10-point disparity right there. So there you go. And then also two guys from three-point range. Golden State hits 14, taking 50 attempts. And Dallas, only 14 attempts. and made four. So basically, Golden State makes as many as Dallas attempts. So there you have it. So that's your story to me. And then also big story in this game, Anthony Davis goes down with an injury, guys. We've seen this story play out over and over in his career. He leaves the game in the second quarter, guys, with what is now diagnosed as a groin strain. So he leaves the game. He'll be day-to-day, guys, with this injury. He only played 10 minutes, scoring 3 points, getting 3 rebounds and 2 blocks. So more bad news for AD in terms of injuries, guys. So there you go. So Dallas not really having a chance with him going down. And thus, there you go. So with that said, let's look at the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry, 23 points he finished with. He started the game slow, guys. He started the game slow, but in the end, he gets the 23 points. Only drops 2 threes in this game, which is un-Steph-like. He did have 4 assists. Jimmy Butler, 14 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. They got Al Horford back, guys. Now, Al Horford, he had missed 7 games prior with the sciatica in his leg. But he now returns 14 points, 9 rebounds, and 2 steals, as I said. So, therefore, you get a big back, which you need, guys. So, there you go for Golden State. Cooper Flagg for Dallas. He finishes with 27 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Now, guys, he becomes the 4th youngest player to play on Christmas Day. The 3 ahead of him, Kobe being the youngest of the Lakers, of course. Bill Willoughby. I haven't heard that name in a while. Bill Willoughby for the Houston Rockets is the 2nd youngest, and LeBron James being the 3rd youngest. So Cooper Flagg in rarefied air once again for the Dallas Mavericks. Brandon Williams, 26 points. He did that coming off the bench, guys. PJ Washington, 14 points, 10 rebounds. So he gets the double-double along with 2 steals. Najee Marshall, 14 points for him, 4 rebounds. And then Klay Thompson in his return. Mind you, he's coming off the bench for Dallas. 7 points. He played just 26 minutes. But, of course, got a rousing ovation from the crowd to the dismay of the likes of a Rob Parker. He's still beloved in that city, Klay Thompson is. So there you have it. But, guys, and with this, Golden State improves to 16-5. They have a 3-game streak going. And Dallas meandering with 12 wins and 20 losses. Now, prior to this game, guys, on Monday, December 22nd, Golden State would host the Orlando Magic. And in that game is where all the buzz is about. They get the win that day, 120-97. But this was a game that was very close in the first half. In fact, Golden State goes into halftime with a 1-point lead, 58-57. A game where Steph Curry is ice cold. only 8 points in the first half. He goes 3 for 13, 0 of 6 from three, very unlike Steph. And he's perfect from the free throw line in 2 attempts. In the second half, he explodes. 18 points. He goes 7 of 12 from the field, guys. 4 of 7 from three. So that's more like the Steph we all know. So there you have it. But also with that, he has 6 assists, 2 steals. Jimmy Butler, 21 points, 4 assists. Moses Moody, 20 points. Brandon Podziemski, 16 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. And Draymond Green, he only played 17 minutes. I'll explain why shortly. 9 points and 7 rebounds. Now, in this game, guys, in the third quarter, early in the third, there's a timeout call by Golden State. See, Kerr's not liking what's going on the floor. Draymond's out there arguing with the refs about, you know, making foul calls and all those sort of things. Steve Kerr calls the timeout. In the timeout, him and Draymond get into it. They going back and forth. Explanatives are being tossed about, all those sort of things. A very animated discussion. So much so that Moses Moody comes over and tries to calm down Draymond Green. Draymond Green doesn't like what he's hearing from his coach. So what does he do? He leaves the bench. Leaves the bench, goes into the locker room. He doesn't come back out until 15 minutes later, guys. 15 minutes later. And he comes back in street clothes. So he comes back to cheer on his teammates, so on and so forth. And as we see, Golden State gets the win. So with that said, of course, in the post game, both gentlemen are being asked about it. And of course, I have the sound. So we're going to hear from both guys in terms of what they had to say prior, after the game, rather, post-game. Give me 1 second to pull it up. I believe this. Okay. All right, so here we go. This is Steve Kerr on what took place. Take a listen. Oh, hang on one second, guys. Sorry.
We had it out a little bit.
Okay. All right, so. All right. Let me see if I can get it at the very start of it. Okay. All right, so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Team, and like I said, nothing more to discuss from my end.
How would you describe the nature of the conversation you and Draymond had on the bench in the third quarter before he went to the locker room?
Yeah, we got into it, obviously, and you know, I took the time out just because I thought we lost our focus there a little bit. And we had it out a little bit. And, you know, he made his decision to go back to the locker room to cool off. And that's all I'm going to say about it. It's everything is private. And, I got nothing further to add.
Would you? I mean, he didn't play the last 20 minutes. Would you have gone back?
No, no, no. He wasn't going back yet.
And was that a decision by him or you?
Well, he left. He went back to the locker room. And so we moved forward, and the guys played great. It's a hell of a win. Really good second half. And I'm very proud of the team. And, like I said, nothing more to discuss from my end.
How would you describe?
Temper spilled over, and
it's a straight mind.
I just thought it was best that I got out of there. I don't think there was a situation where it was going to get better. So it was just best to remove myself, you know. That's it. Sometimes you're with people for a long time, there's a level of comfort. We move forward.
I mean, do you feel like this will linger at all?
We move forward. Temper spilled over, and
so you heard from both the coach and you heard from Draymond, right? So basically, the coach said he had liked what was going on the floor, pulled the guys to the bench for a timeout. Him and Draymond went at it. Didn't like what was said. He left. Basically, and from the after Reed lips now. So he basically told him to go. So go he did. He left. I didn't know he was going to take that long, 15 minutes. I'll get into that. And he eventually comes back in street clothes. So it was understood when he came back, he wasn't going back in the game. Simple as that. So it seems Coach Kerr put his foot down. And Draymond accepted it for what it was. And whatever was said was just too much for Draymond to bear. He leaves the team for 15 minutes. 15 minutes, guys. Think about what can happen in a game in 15 minutes. A guy who you probably replaced him with, a Trace Jackson Davis. What happens if Trace Jackson Davis twists his ankle or, you know, gets one of these great one or two ankle sprains and he's out of the game? Steve Kerr's looking to his bench looking for Draymond as a sub. He's not there because he's still in the locker room. So there's that. But I'm not done. We are now going to hear from the coach. This is the practice prior to the Christmas game, guys. When I heard this, I literally fell out of my chair, guys. When I heard this, I could not believe this is what was said. So let me bring down the sound to make sure that I'm at the right spot. This is Steve Kerr talking about the situation, what happened at practice as far as that goes. And then I'll just opine after.
Who's starting? Danny, you got the mic. Oh, Sam, you got one too.
How you doing, Steve?
Good. How are you, Sam?
Good, good. How have the last couple of days been? Did you talk with Draymond? Were you able to talk with him after what happened on Monday?
Yeah, we talked today. We had a great chat. And, you know, frankly, what night is it? What day is it today? So Monday night. Yeah. Monday night was not my finest hour. And that was a time I needed to be calm in the huddle. And so I regret, and, you know, my actions in that exchange. And, you know, I apologized to Dre. He apologized to me. We both apologized to the team. You know, these things, they happen, especially when you get two incredibly competitive people like Dre and me. So over the 12 years we've been together, this has happened occasionally, and it's I'm not proud of it. We had a great chat. I care so much about Draymond, and the relationship we have is like family. We've been, you know, and like family, you go through ups and downs. And my number one goal, honestly, is, you know, for him
to finish his career as a Warrior with us fighting, metaphorically, not literally, fighting and competing together until we're both gone. And I believe that's going to happen because I believe in Draymond, and I believe in myself, and I believe in everything we've built for 12 years. And so we had a great chat. I'm not going to share the details, but I can tell you this. I'm expecting the very best version of Draymond tomorrow. I know exactly who he is. He's a winner. He's a champion. He's the most passionate, competitive person I've ever met. And that can get the best of him, and it can get the best of me. And that's what happened the other night.
And is there any, I mean, with that practice today, was there any discussion with the group or about what happened, or just keep
going? I talked to the team. Draymond also talked to the team. We both apologized for, you know, what transpired. It was not a good look. As I said, it was on me as the coach to recognize the circumstances, and I did not do that. I let my emotions get the best of me, and it was not my, like I said, not my finest hour. But I also know exactly who Draymond is and exactly who I am. We want the exact same thing, and that's a good thing. I think we're going to be fine. We're going to move forward from here, and I'm excited about what's ahead.
Enough. So you heard Coach Steve Kerr. That is the problem right there. That is the problem. You heard a contrite Coach Steve Kerr in that sound you just heard. Draymond goes on the inside the NBA because, you, of course, he's buddies with those guys. And, you know, they asked him about everything that went on. I'm not going to play how he replied. I'll just give you a couple of bits from what he said. He said these things happen. He said, you know, it's about mitigating the damage as far as what a discussion like that will do to the team. And he was asked about being an example to the younger guys. And he, to me, I don't think he directly answered that, to be honest with you. You can go and find the clip if you want. But what I will say is, there was more contrition from the coach than there is from the player. And that's a problem for me. That is absolutely a problem for me. Rob Parker and Kelvin Washington, they talked about it on their show, where Rob Parker, you know how he feels about this. He feels Steve Kerr has enabled this behavior from Draymond. He has created this monster. He has let so much stuff go with this guy that this guy thinks he's Teflon, that nothing can be done with him. The team itself does not punish him. I was listening to Road Tripping with the guys over there, Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye, and they were saying how the team has dealt with Draymond when it comes to these situations. And that's where I was like, no. They have not dealt with Draymond, and that's the problem. That is the problem. The time you should have went hard in the paint after Draymond is after he punched his teammate, Jordan Poole. You didn't suspend him. You let him go through with the ring ceremony and all that stuff. That was the time you sent a message to Draymond, listen, you are not bigger than this team. There needs to be accountability. There's no accountability for Draymond whatsoever. That's why he continues to do this stuff. That's why there's no culpability from the Golden State Warriors, not from the coach. You heard the coach. Why did Steve Kerr apologize? Why did he apologize? He's the coach. Did he go too far in the huddle with what he said? I'm not sure. But for your players to leave the bench and lead the team for 15 minutes, you don't know what could have happened in those 15 minutes. And you go and put your clothes on and you're done for the day? Really? And mind you, they didn't even have Al Horford back. He wasn't due back till the Christmas game. So you were down two big men because Draymond went and put his clothes on. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's the thing. There's no accountability with this man. And you let him go. Everybody's saying how emotional he is and, you know, this and that. No, this is unacceptable. 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 He's a veteran. You don't think other guys have been coached hard in a huddle where you have to try and rein the guy in and let him not lose control of himself? Because if he kept going with that ref, I saw the play. If he had kept going, he would have got the first tech. Then he would have kept going. Then he got the second tech, and he'd be gone again. Mind you, that happened the game before. Excuse me. But that's my problem with Draymond and with the Golden State organization. Yeah, don't call this man to the carpet and let him run roughshod. You let the league do your dirty work and give him the suspensions, give him the fines and all the things. If you take care of this stuff in-house, maybe he wouldn't run rampant the way he does. I'm just saying. So I got to admit, guys, that was painful for me to play that sound from Steve Kerr. It really was, because you are the one with hat in hand with contrition, and your player is over there with his podcast with no cares in the world. Come on. Come on. I'm just saying. So I'm just going to leave it there. But I tell you guys, we're not done with Draymond as far as the season goes. There'll be something coming down the pike. I'm sure of it. He cannot help himself, guys. He cannot help himself. Something else is going to happen. I guarantee before the season's out, we'll be talking about this man again and how he can't control himself. I guarantee it. I hate to say that about a person, but he can't help himself. And you don't rein him in. You don't make him accountable for his actions. You don't do it, Golden State. You don't. So we won't be done with the subject. I'm sure of it. So I'm just going to leave it there. But listen, Draymond, take a look in the mirror, man. Do whatever you got to do. I hope in those 15 minutes you was on the phone with a therapist or something to tell for them to try and get you to calm down. I'm just saying. All right, I'm going to leave that alone. So that's the story as far as Golden State goes. They won the middle game of the five games in that Christmas day. So there you have it. They're on a three-game winning streak. We'll see what happens with them. Let's continue. The Houston Rockets, they head to the crypto arena, if you will, to play the Lakers. Mind you, they came into this game stumbling a bit themselves, Houston. But they were able to find an opponent they could beat up on. Houston takes this game from the LA Lakers, 119-96, guys. In a game where Houston pretty much led just about the whole way. At halftime, they were leading 63-53. Story in this game, field goal percentage, Houston was allowed to do whatever it wanted. over 53% from the field. Lakers for themselves was over 50%, but and then rebounding, they absolutely obliterated them on the boards. Houston 58, the Lakers 31.
Wow.
And this game, they lose Austin Reeves. He leaves in the second quarter with a calf strain, much like what you see with Anthony Davis, where he leaves in the second quarter. Austin Reeves does likewise in this game with a calf strain. Oh, by the way, he's going to be out 4 weeks. They graded it a grade 2 calf strain. So bad news for the Lakers. He finished with 12 points. But all in all, Houston takes it to the Lakers. And by the way, in this matchup here between Kevin Durant and LeBron James, this is the highest scoring matchup as far as two players go in terms of total points. So take with that what you will. For the Houston Rockets, Amen Thompson had a spectacular game, 26 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists for the Rockets. KD with 25 points of his own. He drops 4 threes in this game, along with 8 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks. Alperen Sengun, 14 points, 12 rebounds, and Jabari Smith, 16 points and 7 rebounds for the Rockets. On the Lakers side, Luka has 25. He also has 7 assists, 5 rebounds. LeBron with 18 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. Quiet game for DeAndre Ayton, 10 points and just 2 rebounds. Not what you want from Ayton, especially in a game like this, on national television for all to see in a quiet game nonetheless. And so much so, J.J. Redick, not a happy camper whatsoever. So he had some choice words to say about all that went on as far as the Lakers. And I'm going to find that sound in 1 second. Give me 1 second, folks. Redick. All right, so this is J.J. Redick talking about what he saw from those Lakers. Listen to this.
How do you improve all these things when you get back
to them? Oh, we practice them all the time. It's not, again, it goes back to what I said the other night. It's a matter of making the choice. And too often we have guys that don't want to make that choice. And it's pretty consistent who those guys are. And so Saturday's practice, I told the guys, it's going to be uncomfortable. The meeting is going to be uncomfortable. I'm not doing another 53 games like this.
So that's J.J. Redick post-game talking about the Lakers. Yeah, I was listening to a clip from our couple, Rob Parker, of course. You know, he has it in for J.J. Redick. He calls him a fraud and phony for not calling out the players. Instead of using this broad brush, he wanted him to call out the players. J.J. Redick's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. And it's funny because I think of Steve Kerr and guys like J.J. Redick. You know, they learn all this stuff. You know, Phil Jackson's the master at manipulating the players through the media and all these sort of things. I think some of these coaches try to use that similar method in a way or so. And you can see kind of J.J. Redick kind of leaning in that direction without naming people. So there's that. But he's frustrated with the defense being played. And to me, defense has to start, I think, with your best player. I think it has to start with your best player giving effort on defense. If your best player isn't giving effort on defense, it's going to be hard for other guys to buy in. I think that's the case here. So you got to get a Luka. You got to get a LeBron in there, getting in there on defense, getting grimy, getting dirty as far as that goes. I understand they're not going to take the toughest defensive assignment on the floor. You leave that to the likes of a Jarrett Vanderbilt, maybe a Rui Hachimura, Marcus Smart. But you have to see some effort from your top players. You have to. So J.J. Redick has laid down the gauntlet, guys. Will we see improvement in them over the next few games? We'll see. We'll see if these tough words have penetrated or not. We'll see what happens. But not a happy camper J.J. Redick was coming out of this game. So there you go. All right, so Houston, their record now is 18-10. And the Lakers, 19-10. So Lakers have one game up on the Houston Rockets. So there you go. All right, and then the last game, probably the most exciting game of the day, and that belongs to the Denver Nuggets hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves. And this was a high-scoring affair, guys, and a game that went into overtime. Very close game, guys. And the final score, the Denver Nuggets, 142. The Minnesota Timberwolves, 138. And in this game, this is a game where Denver was leading, by the way, guys, going into that fourth quarter, 92-78. But the Timberwolves wasn't to be denied. They got in there and tied it up, thus heading to overtime. A high-scoring affair, like I said, guys. And I think, to me, it seems like free throws, that was the difference here. Denver goes to the line 32 times, make 29. Memphis goes 30 times, only makes 24. That's pretty much kind of the difference here by 4 or 5 points. And then rebounds, Denver out rebounds the Timberwolves, surprisingly enough, 63-54. The Joker, Nikola Jokic, with a monster game, guys. 56 points, guys. He drops 4 threes in this game. 16 rebounds, 15 assists. Good grief. And throwing 2 blocks. I mean, he was absolutely destroying them, guys. From the field, he was 15-21. And this is a good defensive Timberwolves team. And he was taking them to the woodshed. Good gracious. So the Joker absolutely destroying the Minnesota Timberwolves, guys. Jamal Murray with a monster game, 35 points. He drops 9 threes, guys, along with 10 assists. So your top 2 players absolutely balling. And in support, Tim Hardaway Jr., 19 points, 4 rebounds. Now, this is a game, guys, where they got the news about Cam Johnson, who got injured the prior game. Thankfully, it's not a knee injury, guys, so he will miss some time, but they dodged the bullet as far as that goes. So won't be a prolonged absence for Cam Johnson. And I talked about the trade they wish they didn't make, as far as shipping out Michael Porter Jr., because Cam Johnson just hasn't done it for them. They're also missing Aaron Gordon and Christian Brown. So they're doing all this without those guys. That is absolutely fantastic. So there you go there. And then for the Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards, he drops 44 in this game, puts in 5 threes, 6 rebounds, 3 steals. Julius Randle with a fantastic game, 32 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. Jaden McDaniel, 21 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And Rudy Gobert, 9 points, 12 rebounds. He did have 6 blocks, so there you go there. But the Denver Nuggets get the win on the final game of the night on Christmas Day, thus getting the win. They're now 22-8. Minnesota 20-11. So a lot of teams within that same area there as far as win totals and those sort of things. So, you know, the West is going to be a fight to the finish till the end of the season. So there you go. All right, guys, I just want to play one bit of sound before we go. And this, I heard Charles Barkley say this on Inside the NBA. They were there the entire day, Christmas Day, doing the breakdowns of the games, you know, in studio and those sort of things. So, but I did want to play for you what Charles Barkley had to say, because we understand Christmas Day, that's usually NBA basketball. But now these past 2 seasons, the NFL has decided to throw games on that day as well. So they had 3 games on the slate for that day. So haven't seen the numbers as of yet as far as viewership goes. I'll report that probably in my next episode. So here's Barkley. Here's Barkley on the NFL trying to muscle in on their day. Oh, hold on. Sorry.
You got 5 games and nobody else playing. And, you know, the NBA, the NFL got greedy and started adding Christmas games. We used to have this day to ourselves, but, you know, Roger Goodell, them pigs at the NFL always hog every day of the week now.
They can't play
a career. I don't know. I saw those guys yesterday on ESPN talk about it, and they're right. Christmas is an NBA day. You got 5.
So that was Barkley going hard against Roger Goodell in the NFL for, and like I said, it's recent. This is in the past couple of seasons, and putting days on Christmas Day. And from what I saw, those games weren't nearly as exciting as what went on in the NBA, but, you know, they say NFL is king. But we'll see as far as the numbers go for that. So there you go. All right, guys. So I thank you for listening. All Things Basketball with GD.com is the website. There you find my clips, my full episodes. Also, guys, my donate buttons are on the website. Buy me a coffee, PayPal, Spotify donate. Also, guys, in the scroll, as always, my Cash App, $GD, that sports dude. Again, $GD, that sports dude. You'll always find it in the scroll for the show. Also in the scroll, my email address, allthingsbasketballgd@outlook.com, guys. That's a place where you can email the show, right to the show. Any thoughts, anything whatsoever, you can write to the show. Also, my YouTube channel's there. Same thing, clips, full episodes. Also, on podcast platforms. I'm on all of those. And guys, also my social media, Instagram, TikTok, some Facebook, some Blue Sky. That's it. So I thank you for listening to this special episode, guys. I appreciate your listenership as always. Can't do this show without you tuning in. So I appreciate you. All right. With that said, enjoy your holidays and all those sort of things. I should be back with the recap of week 10. And then we enter a new year, guys, 2026. So there you go. Thank you for listening. As always, we'll talk soon. Take care.